I am Kosna Tindlovu, and this is the Tech Central Show. TCS is brought to you today by MTN Business. Visit www.mtnbusiness.co.za to learn more about their products and solutions. And we thank them for partnering with the show to bring you these great interviews. The irony of the social media age is that although there are arguably more ways to stay connected than there have ever been in human history, rates of loneliness, isolation, and even suicide have simultaneously skyrocketed. So, even though social media has aided in connecting people, it has also contributed to depersonalization and disconnection. A new wave of social media applications, dubbed community apps, have stepped in to solve this. Community apps aim to merge online activity with in-person meetups, with the view to driving more meaningful engagement by connecting like-minded individuals based on their interests. Sociable is a homegrown South African community app, and my studio guest today is Jason van Dyk, Sociable's founder, who's going to tell us more about how it works. Hello, Jason, and thank you for taking the time to speak to Tech Central today.
Wow, it's a pleasure, Thank you so much for having me on.
Mm-hmm. So, Jason, could you start by just telling us what Sociable is and what it aims to achieve?
Sure. I think you touched on this a bit in the introduction there, but Sociable is a community-focused, events-based app. And we always say it that way because community is at the heart of everything that we do. The fact that it's an application and a platform is just the medium through which we're reaching people at the moment. But the community aspect is what we focus on most. And I think as you touched on there, in this day and age, although we've been promoted that we should be more connected than ever, I think we all have a deep yearning for a bit of a stronger connection, a bit more of a real connection. And that's what we're hoping to bring to people. So as much as it's a tech platform, it's also a community platform. It's also an opportunity platform, as I like to say, you know, bringing back opportunities for people to rediscover their cities, to rediscover their passions, to rediscover their friends, and to rediscover themselves as well. You know, you don't have to be boxed into what you, the picture that you have of yourself. It provides opportunities for you to really explore everything from locations to activities and friendships. So that's what we're building.
Okay. And I mean, this is about people who want to build community. There are probably many ways to do that. What are the advantages of using an app like Sociable?
Sure. So I think the most important part of that is that everyone on the platform is looking for the same thing, and that's for things to do and that's for connections to make. So we're not a platform that's trying to serve everyone in every way that they need. We've got our niche and our focus, and everyone that's on the platform shares that. So it really offers the benefit of knowing that your audience is active, is engaged. We always speak about being influential, not an influencer. And that's being active in your community and actually offering back to people, and not just being, we're trying to shift more from an attention economy to an intention economy, essentially, is the words that we like to use, you know, is to bring people on the platform that have an intent to do something, and that they're not just there to consume and to get stuck in it, but to actually be, you know, activating in terms of what they're doing, to go meet up with one another, to go try new things, to get off the platforms, essentially, at moments, you know, and to reconnect with themselves. So that's what kind of makes us different, and what provides the community builders that opportunity is to know that every time that they're posting something, every hour that's on it is there for the same reason. That's to explore.
But I mean, you're surely competing in a space where there are social media giants like Facebook. How do you compete against those guys?
Sure. So we always get asked the same question. You know, there's Facebook, there's WhatsApp, and all these platforms serve their purpose. Facebook might be a bit different because Facebook tries to serve every purpose, which I think in the early days was its greatest benefits. And I think now in the latter days might be its downfall. If we look at the usership trends, Facebook is actually dwindling compared to the other platforms. And I think the reason for that is just they've reached a bit too wide. Not that it's not an amazing platform and it's not doing amazing things. But when you try and serve everyone in a different way, no one really understands what it's for. And the place that you're going to see birthdays and consume political content is not necessarily the same place that you're going to, you know, meet up with your friends. And I think that's where Facebook has its use cases, but where we step in and shine is that we focus down on serving those markets where they need to be met. And that is in the bringing people together. That is in the event space and in the community space. And you know, every platform, as I say, has its use cases. WhatsApp's a really amazing place to keep up with people in a conversational basis, but it can be incredibly difficult sometimes to make plans. I'm sure you've been added to WhatsApp groups that nothing ever really finalizes or comes to
Never
fruition, but there's a lot of
materialize.
talking in between. Exactly that. So yeah, again, there's lots of platforms, and I always sing their praises. Everything's got its use case, and it's amazing. And I think what we're trying to do is just offer an alternative for the specific use case for people, and that's the community aspect. We're not trying to be everything at once. We're not trying to compete with Facebook and what they're doing. We've got our focus, and we just sticking to that.
Okay. So could you tell us more about the functionality you offer then that helps facilitate this community building?
Sure. So I think from the get-go, I mean, tech functionality aside, I think the way we've managed to do that is making sure, as I said, it's an intentional based platform. We are an application which some people have their trepidations in downloading an app because it's an extra step. Sometimes they just want a website. But we've been very meaningful in following that, because what it means is that people that have chosen to create their accounts and to load up the app are there with the right intention. So it means that just from the culture that we're building around the platform, people are all there in the right way. So that's from the human, what would you call it, the human aspect. From the technical aspect, we've made it in such a way that it's not just a platform that you will go off for a once-off purchase. When you're buying a ticket for a rugby game, it's a once-off purchase. You're on there to get your ticket to go to the sporting event, and then you pop off because that was just the transaction that you needed to facilitate. But for us, it's more of an ecosystem approach. It's more an iterative thing. You're following someone on the platform, so when you create an account, you are a host as much as you are an attendee. We don't even like using the words, because on the platform, it's just as easy to create and host as it is to attend. It's no separate profiles. It's your face, it's your name behind it all. So you get to follow people, and every time they host an event, you'll get a push notification. So you keep up with their communities. It's not just an event, it's this community is hosting an event. So the community is always at the heart of what we do, and all of our features try and integrate directly with that, from the following people to allowing FAQs to be natively built in to make door management easier. So we've tried to take all the barriers away from what people find in terms of building their communities. And then over and above that, then we expand on how we keep those communities together and rolling on. So it's really an amazing experience, because what ends up happening is that, let's say, for example, I'm into paddle, which I think half the world is at the moment, or at least in the southern hemisphere. I think the Americans are into their pickleball. But let's say I'm into paddle, and I've really enjoyed it. But I'm on the app to find a new paddle game, and then I just happen to come across someone that happens to be doing yoga. And I see that, and I think, I've never had the opportunity. I don't really know people that do it, but here's a community that's doing it. Maybe I get out of my comfort zone slightly and go and try that. So what really also keeps them engaged in the community aspect is that everyone is on the same platform, all amongst each other. It's not just that you're locked in and going to one link or URL and then going off. It's that you're scrolling the feed and you're seeing what else is out there. You're seeing what new communities that you haven't engaged with. And bringing them all together in that way. So when I say, we're trying to provide opportunity, that's one of the aspects, to make sure that you can see something and be inspired and go try something new, or step out of your comfort zone.
Yes. Spreading horizons, spreading horizons.
Yeah.
So, but other than the people themselves and the communities that you build, the actual meeting spaces that these people meet in are also a beneficiary of your app. How can they maximize their engagement within the application?
Yeah, amazing. I think what you've touched on there is also what brands can do, because I'm sure you've heard it recently. The buzzword is community, and we always say we might be the proponents of it, but we have to be cognizant of the fact that it has become a buzzword. And sometimes it becomes almost superfluous. They say community, but it doesn't really mean that. And so, for these locations and venues and brands as a whole, what I would say is that community is not just people that purchase your product or frequent your venue. It's people that attach to your vision. It's people that engage with you and are intentional about doing that. So from the coffee shops, for example, it wouldn't be to say just have a special, and post it up or just have, say ladies nice and put it on the app. It's not that. It's engaging people with what you're doing and what they're doing. So maybe host a quiz night, maybe host a pop-up thing there. Maybe find a running club. So we've got some amazing walking slash running clubs that start at a coffee shop and then they'll do a loop and they'll end at the coffee shop. So, that venue gets all that foot traffic through it, but they're also attaching to a community and a purpose behind that. So that's one way that I think is most important for people to focus on. It's not saying how do we push ourselves onto them. It's to say how do we meet them with what they're interested in, what they're doing, and integrate into their communities. And in doing so, you end up building your own.
Jason, one topic that's becoming increasingly, I'd say, important in the public sphere is online safety. Could you tell us how Sociable approaches online safety and how you advise your users to approach it as well?
Sure. So it's massively important just from the developer side of things. If you look at Apple and Google, they're also quite heavily pressed in terms of the online safety. There's a lot of agreements that you have to have by law required into your platforms and apps. So just behind the curtain scene for people that maybe aren't in the development space, they are quite active and stringent in looking at that. So, just from the top down, it's always been quite an important aspect. For ourselves, the aspect comes, the safety comes again from the realism, from the fact that it's a face and a name behind it. It's not just an arbitrary user that's using the platform. We also do have age restrictions. You have to be over 18 to use the platform, purely again from a safety aspect to make sure that our communities are interacting in the way that they should be. And we also, we review our platform consistently. We're always checking for events, making sure that the hosts are checked in on, making sure that attendees are enjoying it. And then post-event as well, you can review your host. So you can give feedback to other users. You give them a rating so you can see if someone's maybe not delivering on their promises, and to make sure to avoid them. And the hosts that are active and are trusted, we also have a verification system built into the platform. So you'll be able to see who's verified and they'll be trusted hosts. So you can have the trust that way. And looking ahead, we've got some few more exciting features to roll out that we'll introduce to the market when it's fit and ready. But that will also build more of a trust factor and just a more insight onto who your host is and what you're doing. But yeah, we always try to receive a lot of feedback. There's abilities to report your events and your hosts if there is safety concerns, and our team is very, very active in going through those.
Okay, cool. So you mentioned running clubs already, but could you tell us about some of the other popular communities on your platform?
Yeah, I would love to. I hope I don't miss anyone out, and then I'll get messages after this, and say, where was our name? But I think, it would
Yes.
always be remiss of me to never bring up our key host or our day one key host, which has been Sarah from Socially Gathering. She is a community, I mean, a woman's only community, which is amazing and so well needed. She started shortly after we launched. She started building a community and has grown to, I think she's got 30,000 plus women in her community now across the channels. She has been, our most explosive host on the platform. So she just gives women a safe space to basically get together in different ways. She has dinner clubs, she has walking clubs, she has book clubs. And then we've got a host of other amazing hosts on the platform. We've got our Prom Tram guys who do a running club every week in Cape Town, come rain or shine. And if you've been to Cape Town in winter, you'll know that come rain is a very realistic thing. And yet they're there every single week and just an amazing running club. We've just got the beach club, I mean, the beach cleanups in Cape Town that have onboarded as well, which is amazing, to help the environment and build community. Also, the That's Not Funny CPT comedy contingent has also just started hosting events on the platform, and they do a lot for the comedy scene here in Cape Town, award-winning, as I'm sure they like to say. So that's amazing. We've also got an up-and-coming movement wellness community, Hannah Habits. We've got our sub-Cape Town people. As I say, there's more than I'm probably missing out on, and I would hate for them to do it. But hop on the platform and trust me, you'll see so many amazing hosts with so many amazing opportunities and activities.
Sounds exciting. Sounds exciting. To move away from that now and more to towards the legal regulatory side, how do you approach data privacy and data security?
So again, very similar to the in-person protection side, the top down is quite strict. Strict on these things from Apple and Google side as well. From ourselves, we are very compliant in terms of keeping all private data and our encryptions into our databases. We do not share any information. I can't tell you the amount of people that say, oh, do we get a mailing list when we do this and we get that? And I said, that's not how you bring people together. You bring people together when they feel safe in the space, where they know that they're joining a community, they're not just being monetized or have their data leaked. So we're very, very strict on that. And so only what you input to share is what gets shared, your username and your name on the app if you decide to put that in. And then everything else is basically kept out of arm's reach. We're very strict on that. As I say, you can't promise people a place to meet other people and to find real again, and then basically use that as a platform to circumvent and share data or make money out that way. That for me is not the way you build strong, lasting communities. So yeah, we are very, very strict on that, and we keep it as need be.
So how much does it cost users to actually access the platform, and how else are you making money off it?
Also, it's completely free, which is for me the most exciting thing because I don't ever feel like I have to sell something to people. I just actually can speak honestly about the change that we're able to make in the world, so that's amazing. We obviously do have revenue on the internet, but those are more for your larger communities that want certain features like recurring events or like banner images to stand out or increased promotional images in the app. And so we have a subscription or a premium tier for that, but by no means is that necessary for people to have. And that's only from the hosting aspect. From the attending events, it's completely free, assuming that it's not a paid event, and that's up to the host discretion. But to get the app, to see what's going on, to attend the free events, completely free, will always be completely free. We really are starting from the baseline of how do we bring people together? How do we make sure that people feel seen and heard and don't feel like they're trying to be consistently taken advantage of or monetized to? And so that's our promise, is to always be free from that aspect. And then, yeah, we've got some ex other exciting features that build into our revenue models, but it's always a value focused, value first, introduction into the market. So if we're offering value, at the end of the day, we're a business, and if we get a bit of commission off that value that we add, then great. But we're not here to try and just monetize communities. We really want to build them.
It wouldn't be an interview without an AI question. There is a growing prevalence of AI bots on the internet. You post something, and 3 seconds after you've posted, there's already a response, and you can tell that it's a bot. And they are growing in number on the internet. Are you seeing any of this kind of activity on social, and how are you approaching it?
No, so fortunately we're not, and I think again that comes down to the culture that we've built. Also, again, we don't have a web-based platform, which a lot of these platforms do. So essentially, again, behind the curtain from the developer side, people will basically build an APIs that will just create accounts and let the bots run through the APIs to interact with people. Our APIs aren't open, they also aren't web hosted, so we do mitigate that aspect. It will never be perfect. People can always circumvent and find ways around it. But I think the intention behind the platform, it's not a consumer-based platform. So it's not text heavy and conversational heavy. It's more in-person interaction. So just by the means of what we are as a platform, we do circumvent the AI side because AIs aren't meeting up with people in person. So it's one of the things that I've, as being in the tech space, you're probably inundated with AI talk, as am I. And it's one of the things that I've been thinking about quite a lot recently, is just what the end game looks like, or where this is going, or where this is trending. So I was thinking, for example, at if you look at the marketing campaigns that are being done, and all the new AI video platforms that have just launched out, or Sora and its updates, which is creating amazing video content from the aesthetic standpoint. And where does that go when all the adverts are now the highest quality adverts that you can get, where all the images for socials are all the highest quality images, where everything that's being responded to is from a chatbot, and it's chatbots responding to chatbots? I'm sure you saw that Reddit forum where that university ran a test on a subreddit and was basically just bots interacting there. So at what point do we start looking at that and start wondering, where's the utility? What is real? If everything that you consume does come through this lens of maybe that's not a person, do we really feel that we need to be on these platforms? And do we really feel that we've got utility on it? We spend hours, and we don't even know if we spend hours with people or stuff that people have made. It might have just been made through a processor. And so then, how does that filter into to what we're actually doing and what we're feeling back from it and where we're getting those sort of human emotions from? And that for me has been a strong contingent in terms of, or a strong reinforcement in terms of what we're doing, because you can't AI this, you can't AI in person. There's nothing that can ever be done to replace that. And we all know straight away. And so I think this has been the modern trend, which is quite interesting, is that we've evolved to the point almost that going backwards is actually innovation at this point. Taking it back to how we started is what people want. And which is, it's such a weird concept, because you think, innovation is always taking a step forward, but sometimes the step forward actually looks a bit like a step back. And that's what we're trying to do, is stand at the forefront of the return to what we really want. We focus for so long on building something to make our lives easier and to save us time, but no one's stepped in and said, okay, well, what are we doing with this, all this time that we saved? Okay, we're not writing these boring emails to people or sitting in the call centers. Okay, so what are we doing with all this time that we saved? What are we giving back to people? Because we've made all these promises that life will look different and it will look better, but we haven't made any promises as to how we're going to make it better. Sure, we'll make it easier, or we'll make it more simple or more efficient, but how are we making it more meaningful? And that's what we're trying to do from our aspect. And that's how we put that barrier into the AI. It's the in person. It's just the nature of our platform is built has that built in.
Off the back of that, then, do you think that there's more room for other social or community apps in South Africa, and how do you see the space kind of growing in the next, say, 5 years?
Sure, I would like to say no to build a moat. I would like to say we would be the only one, but
I know
I would
why.
yeah, I would be remiss in saying that. I think there's always an opportunity, but I think it's again, it has to be done with the right intentions, and I think that's where a lot of people have missed out on, because it's not always as easy to do it with the right intentions. There's always quicker ways to grow businesses if you want to cut corners, if you want to scale up really fast. If I mean, just from the investor standpoint, or from the market interest standpoint, you're throwing around words like AI or blockchain or these types of technologies, which is amazing to get that awareness and interest. But again, it takes away from the community aspect. So I think that's that balancing act. So there will always be space for it, and I think there is always space for it in unique ways. I just think for people, it's important to, not even from the community aspect, is to let the people innovate in the AI and the blockchain sectors, and that is great innovation. I'm never here to talk down on it. I saw you wrote an article about people that were using AI to scan for cancer and through X-rays. Amazing, amazing technology that's saving lives. So it would be absolutely, ignorant of me to sit here and say AI is bad. It's not. But at the same time, if you do have an interest for the other aspect, there is still a human side of things that we can focus on, and start looking at what we're missing out on with that. You don't always have to chase trends and chase the next big thing, because sometimes the next big thing comes from branching off and looking in a different direction. And as I've always said to people, my whole hope with this business is that everyone is building in the space here. I call it space A. And I want to try and build something here in space B. And if at the very least I just get people to turn their heads to see that there's another opportunity and another market to grow, and they see that all that space that exists in between, and built into that, then my job is done. That's really what we want to do, is build a world that's actually good and meaningful, not just efficient.
Jason, thank you for putting the personal touch back in connectivity. Thank you very much for speaking to us today.
No, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
That is Jason Van Dyke, and he is the founder and CEO of Sociable.